never settle, unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips and experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Take Command podcast. Logan Paulson there. Craig Hoffman here. And Logan, hey, we've been saying it's draft season. There is no more it's draft season than mock draft 1.0, which we are going to embark on today. Welcome everybody. Welcome one and all. It is most officially draft season.
Yeah, our first official mock draft. It kind of christens the draft season 100%. So looking forward to it. Again, this is still pretty early in the process. So a lot of this is still, you know, no combine yet. That's a huge data point in terms of draft stuff. But it's always fun to get a preliminary one in and kind of, I think, help the fans kind of get a lay of the land with regards to where we think people are going to go and value at 29, basically.
For sure. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do three things today. One, we're going to talk a little bit about this draft in terms of what could be available at 29 and how much things can change. Two, we're going to actually simulate a mock draft. We're going to use PFF's mock draft simulator, which is actually, I think, very different than a lot of the mock drafts that are out there from draft analysts.
Sure.
You know, your Daniel Jeremiah's, your Bucky Brooks, your Field Yates's, et cetera. So we're gonna do one and see who's available around 29 for Washington, talk about some of those players, and then we're gonna scroll back up and say, hey, that's at that range, maybe we would have considered a trade for that player. So that's how we're gonna operate this. But so many things are so different than a year ago, Logan. As you know, obviously the year ago, Jaden Daniels wasn't a Commander. Dan Quinn hadn't gone forward on a single fourth down. Like we hadn't done anything that we now associate with what it means to be a Commander. None of that had been established. And so they had the second pick. It was, if you had given me Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or the field, I probably would have taken Daniels or May and said, like, you can have the field. You know, maybe a little nervous about there. I think this was about the time that some of the McCarthy stuff started to bubble up. Like, they really like him. And, you know, apparently they did. If Jaden wasn't there, that might have been their guy. But ultimately, like, we knew what direction they were going. They were drafting a quarterback. At the 29th pick, they could go a million different directions, and there was so much more variance ahead of them, because that's the other thing. They had a fake number one pick last year. We knew Caleb Williams was going one. We knew exactly who was going to be available, and I think what we're going to discover over the next 45 minutes, Logan, is we have no freaking idea who is going to be available, so falling in love with any single player seems like a very silly operation.
Yeah, silly operation, but I mean, I think that's ultimately draft season, right? Is like, that's part of the fun of it, is you do find people that you really like and you hope that the Commanders take there at that spot. But I think, like, you're articulating that really well. Not only is there a lot of variance ahead of them, but when you're picking, you know, 29, 30, 31, 32, it really is like a glorified second round pick. So value there becomes a little bit different than you would kind of say, oh, it's a top 10 pick. It's got to be kind of a blue chip guy, or it's a middle of the first round guy. We got to get a you know, significant starter, it really, it becomes like you're looking at probably a pool. This is probably a little bit excessive, but I'd say anywhere between 25 to 35 guys in that range, maybe even 40 of guys that you could reasonably pick at that spot. So, you know, fans in years past, I think, have been like, oh, this is the pick, right? Or this is someone we should be looking at. When you're picking this late in the first round, it's drastically different. And so of those 40 guys, it's like, who is the best fit to be a Washington Commander? And I think, right, the other thing, I've said this on different shows too, is you're also looking into the second round because you're not picking again to the bottom of the second. So if there's a guy that you really absolutely love, but you're not gonna, he's not going to be there when you're picking it, what is it, 60, whatever it is, 60, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't even know. The, you can select him at 29, and it might feel like a reach. The national media might say, oh, he's a second round player, but this is essentially a second round pick for you and your franchise. So really, in terms of, you know, draft logistics, draft strategy, this is going to be a much different conversation than it's been specifically last year with the Commanders, because the landscape's different. How the field's going to fall is totally different. So I'm kind of really excited because it allows us to talk about more people and more fitting more needs. Drafting best player available becomes a much different conversation here at 29.
For sure. So just for, to kind of put some numbers behind that, I am currently on Scouts Inc.'s draft board. The last player they have with a 90 or higher grade, which for them is a first round grade, is Benjamin Morrison, the corner out of Notre Dame.
Right.
That is their 21st ranked player. So when we talk about, oh, you know, you're not getting a blue chip guy, like, of course you can. I've also got pulled up the history of the 29th pick. So I'll read off some names here in a second. But we're literally talking about who are your top of the second round guys. Now, with that said, you could get lucky. Jerzon Newton was a first round grade for Washington last year. They got him, you know, at 36, I think it was. So it is very possible that someone that Adam Peters and his staff has a first round grade on is available at 29. And regardless of position, if he's the last first round grade you have left, you pretty much take that player. Unless it's like, oh, well, Shador Sanders has taken a tumble and they have a first round grade on him. They're not going to take Shador Sanders with the 29th pick. So quarterback is the one exception. But outside of quarterback, pretty much any player that they have a first round grade on, if that guy falls to 29, that's most likely the pick. But I think you could also maybe potentially find a trade partner. Like, really, what is the difference in picking 29th versus 35th? If, let's say, Shador Sanders does take a tumble, but there's a quarterback needy team that didn't like him at, you know, in the top five, that does want to take him and get that fifth year option. You know, okay, fine. That's your last first round guy on the board. You weren't going to take him because he's a quarterback. You have 20 guys in your next bucket. Moving down six spots and not having a first round pick is not that big of a deal if it allows you to pick up stuff in the future.
Yeah, 100%. And I also think it's important to understand, like, I think that's a really nice point you made there, like the 21st player. What was the service you were just citing?
Scouts Inc. So that's ESPN scouting service.
Scouts Inc., you know, is the last first round grade. But you'll also find teams, this is usually not the case, but you will find teams that will have, hey, I've got 30 players with a first round grade or 35 players with a first round grade. It is a subjective measurement of success. It's like, basically, this is the thing about the draft. I had a conversation with a scout that I have a lot of respect for last year, and he was like, yeah, you know, we do a big board. We go 1 to 300, and we rank everybody in order. The thing, and we say, oh, this is a weak draft, this is a strong draft, this is a deep draft, this is whatever. The problem is, in those 300 players, some of them will hit. Some of them will hit from the fifth round, some of them will hit in the fourth round, some will hit in the second round. It's our job to identify those people based on things that we know. And, you know, every year there's a Puka Nacua, right? How did we miss on Puka Nacua? Why didn't we value him more? And I think that's where, like, that, again, that's a huge part of the draft process. That's exactly how you should do it. 1 to 100. These are the first round guys, second round guys, third round guys. But it doesn't shake out like that. Who is a draftable prospect that is going to be a good NFL pro? That is what you need to be thinking about. And you can find that guy in the seventh round. You can find that guy in the first round. And the expectations for those are very different because of the resource allocated to that. But I think that's important to understand. Like, just because this guy doesn't have a first round grade doesn't mean that he's not going to get in the right system with the right coach and be an absolute stud. And I think we'll hopefully be able to talk about that in a little bit more detail when we start talking about individual prospects.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
For sure. But at the same time, you have to understand how everyone else thinks about players, because if you can get a guy in the fifth that you are like, this guy is going to be awesome, but you can get him in the fifth and you waste a third round pick on him, then you didn't waste the third round pick, right? I think of a great example, Travis Frederick, the former Cowboys center, might go to the Hall of Fame. Most teams had like a third round grade on him. Cowboys took him in the first. Was that a bad pick? I don't know. Could they have gotten him in the second or the third and gotten another quality player at that spot? Did they maximize the resources? So
is where I think – I'm really glad you brought that up. This is where it's like you – if you believe it. And this is where, like, you got to trust your draft board. If you believe that that is 100% true, then it's not a wasted pick. Statistically, that's unlikely that you are that – right against consensus. Statistically, that's not how it goes. But if you believe it and you trust it, like, trust it. Like, that's not a miss.
And it also might be one other – it takes one other team to have the same hunch that you did, right? If 28 teams thought Travis Frederick was just a standard center that you could take in the third round, the Cowboys were like, this dude's going to be a Hall of Famer. And one other team did, and they took him in the second. The Cowboys were trying to wait till the third. Then you lost your Hall of Fame center. And so I'm sure there's a million scouts with a million stories about, like, I knew that guy and I tried to convince my GM. Like, that's a tale as old as time.
It's 100%. Like, think about Tim Tebow. I think about Tim Tebow all the time when it's draft season. It just takes one. It takes one team to think, I can take this guy and make him the thing. And then you miss a guy that you really like. And Tim Tebow, I don't think a lot of teams really like, but he went in the first round because they loved him. And it just takes one team in 32 to be like, I think Frederick is a great example, is a second round pick or a first round pick. And maybe the team after Dallas is picking takes them. And then all of a sudden they're having the conversation. They have a Hall of Fame center. So I think that's where it's such a subjective thing that you really have to, that's the one thing I loved about Adam Peters last year. There was a very clear vision for the draft class and the type of person you're bringing in. And when you have that, you could just go back to being process driven. Like, this is our process. It's going to hit more times than not. We're going to miss on a couple guys here and there, but as long as we trust our process and trust our vision, we're never having like bad picks because they all kind of fit in the cultural identity of the team, if that makes sense.
And if they don't have a Commanders tag, especially in those early rounds, we're not taking them. So we're not going to get distracted by, well, Mel Kiper's on TV yapping about this guy. The guy's not got a tag that we said this is what fits our franchise. We don't care what they think. That's not a guy for us. And so I think that's really important. Just real quick, last but not least, on this kind of overview portion of the show here. Here's the recent history of the 29th pick. You ready for this?
I can't wait for this, actually.
All over the place. All right, I'll read the first five. We'll go back to 2020. Last year, Tyler Guyton. The year before, Brian Brzee. Cole Strange, Patriots guard, Eric Stokes, Packers DB, Isaiah Wilson, Titans tackle. Those are the last five number 29
some
overall
really
picks.
Bad. Isaiah Wilson, bad. Stokes, not great. The kid, he was from Florida, right? Number 29.
Which
it was
kid?
the DB from...
No, Stokes was from Georgia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So again, like there's... And I think that just embodies the draft perfectly. I think if you were to pick any pick, even the first pick overall, and go through them, you'd probably have a couple of people like, ooh, that wasn't very good, right? It's just, it's the nature of the draft, right? It's the nature of beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There's no, and we are getting smarter. We're getting more analytical with how we analyze these prospects and these positions and risk and upside and all those types of things. But you're always going to have a very checkered, you know, history of every pick in the NFL draft. So,
and the lower you go, the more checkered it gets, which is why you want, in theory, a higher pick. Although, you know, if you have a higher pick, it means you had a worse season typically. So there's that. But that's why, like, if you're not good, you want the pick. Oh, what's the difference between the eighth and the fifth pick? You hit more often at 5 than you do at 8. Just some other, the previous, like, I don't know, 8 or 9, because you get to a couple good names down here. 2019 was LJ Collier, Taven Bryan, David Njoku was the Browns pick at, yeah, at 29 in 2017. Man, talk about a different... Robert Kimdichie, remember him?
Yeah.
Number one overall prospect going into Ole Miss, had a terrible time there, and the Cardinals took a flyer in the first round. That didn't work out. Philip Dorsett, Dominique Easley, and then you got a couple of really good ones. Cordero Patterson in 2013, and Harrison Smith was the 29th pick in 2012, still playing safety for the Vikings. So there's definitely, you know, some hits, some misses. Nick Mangold in 2006, one of the best centers of the century. So there's definitely some guys that were really good, some obvious busts, some guys who had some in-between careers, some you know, a guy like Hakeem Nicks who was super up and down for the Giants as a receiver. So that's the history of the 29th pick.
No, I think that's great. I think it's, again, it's I think it, if you trust your process and you trust the right, you know, like trust your process, I think you could end up with a really good football player here. And like even just going through some mock draft stuff yesterday, kind of getting ready for the show, it's like, man, there's players here that I really like. You know, are there issues with them? Yes. But would I love to coach these players based on their film? Yeah. And I think that's ultimately what you got to kind of rest on here. It's like you might not be able to find, you know, the blue chipper of the blue chippers, but you can find a guy who's going to be a good NFL football player with upside. And I think that's the thing, is like the Harrison pick is great. Like, who would have thought at 29 he would have been the guy he is now? It's just he's self-motivated. He works hard. He's physical. And it just developed the right way in the right system with the right coaches. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do, is trying to make sure we get the right person that fits in our culture and our identity and make sure that that hits long-term for us.
For sure. And just for kicks and giggles here, because they have in this chart that I'm looking at the 29th pick of the other rounds as well. Some of the guys who have come out and you know, in 29th pick of the second round, you had – Taylor Rapp, DJ Chark, Christian Fulton, Eddie Lacy, who obviously is super up and down, but you know, he's a guy that had a bunch of really good years. In the third round, Wanye Morris was a couple years ago for the Chiefs, where they missed on that pick. But Spencer Brown, the tackle for the Bills. Jacoby Brissett was actually that pick. So T.Y. Hilton in 2012.
There's Cliff good football.
Averill, hey, Cliff Averill, 2008, players, who was awesome with Dan in Seattle when he eventually got there. So, yeah, I mean, there's good football players up and down, but there's your brief history of the 29th overall pick / 29th overall, or 29th picks in each round.